Are you responsible for your organization's social media channels? Do you post to your own social networks without concern, but worry about posting the wrong thing to your work network? If so, this is the post for you. Running social media for an organization is a delicate old job, isn't it? If you stick to announcements and press releases, nobody's going to follow you. You miss the very essence of social media. But if you become too informal, you risk getting into trouble with the powers that be. I think that's why so many social media streams are just full of announcements. Better to be safe and boring than risk the wrath of management. But it doesn't need to be that way. In this post, I want to help you overcome that social media fear. I want to show you how to gain confidence and step out from that safe zone. The first step is understanding that really there is no way of playing it safe. The Waterstones Twitter account is a pretty good example of social media done right. It's got over 90,000 followers, so they must be doing something right. Yet it's interesting to note that Waterstones Oxford Street has over 60,000 followers just on that one store. How can one store have so many followers? Well, the answer's simple. The Oxford Street store pushes the boundaries of what you would expect from a company Twitter account. A good example of this is the tweets that they posted surrounding Waterstone dropping the apostrophe from their name. The Oxford Street branch responded with a series of really quite funny posts that were very self-deprecating. Would you be happy to cast your changes to your brand in such a negative light? Would you be self-deprecating about your brand? Or would you be worried about getting into trouble? The truth is that people love this kind of self-deprecating humour. And the above the tweets that were made by the Waterstone Oxford Street went down incredibly well. And they got probably more positive feedback for those tweets than they did for the rebranding itself. The problem is you have to feel confident enough to take some risks with your social media. Injecting fun and humour can backfire sometimes, and it can be hard to know where to draw the line. Worse still, it can be hard to know how management is going to respond even when a post goes down well. The thing that you need to remember is that there's no guarantees even if you do play it safe. The National Rifle Association tweeted, "Good morning, shooters," and found itself in huge trouble. The problem is that the tweet went out immediately after a shooting in Colorado. They were unaware of the shooting at the time of posting, but that didn't stop an enormous backlash. On any other day, that would have been a harmless update. My point is that no matter what you do, social media is dangerous ground, so playing it safe isn't really an option, or at least not one that provides any benefits. What you need is management's buy-in on your tone of voice. That way, if you get in trouble, you don't become the scapegoat. When a designer creates a new brand, he starts by creating a mood board. The idea of a mood board is to establish the tone of the design. Is it going to be risky or conservative, lively or somber, professional or casual? You need the same kind of thing for social media. You need to agree with management and key stakeholders the tone of your social media interactions. One way to do that is to collect together a load of social media updates from across a range of different social networks. Show management more formal updates, like you would find, say, on the Waterstones main Twitter feed, but also more humorous updates like those posted on the Oxford Street branch. You can explore the different types of humour too. Is your brand going to be self-deprecating or slapstick? Is it political or sarcastic? Where is the line? What tone of voice does your brand have? By looking at a range of different post types, you get a sense of the tone of voice that is appropriate for your brand. You can then draw up a style guide, including types of posts that would or would not be appropriate, and get everyone to sign off on that. In this style guide, you also need to cover the different types of updates you're going to be posting. There are many different types of updates you can post to social networks. Some examples might include competitions, questions, announcements, humorous posts, news, personal, resharing, that kind of thing. Your style guide should design a rough mix of these different post types. The reason this matters is it will set the overall tone of your channel. For example, if 1 in 100 posts is humorous, the channel is going to come across as pretty damn serious. Your style guide also considers whether you want to share updates that include video, imagery, and audio as well. That's another important thing to discuss with management early, because audiovisual is very time consuming. If management expect to see a lot of viral videos in your social network channels, then do you have the time to create those? If you're going to include imagery and video, a discussion also needs to happen about the tone of this content too. Examples need to be found, and you should ensure that they are consistent with your brand. Despite all of this, however much you carefully plan things, sometimes things will fail. And in such situations, some simple policies will provide you with the reassurance you need. I think probably the biggest fear of those running social media channels is dealing with a crisis. These can happen for all kinds of reasons. You might put your foot in it online and say something you shouldn't have, or it could come from a completely different source beyond your control. Before you know it, you're seeing a lot of angry responses. Now, the best way of overcoming this fear is to formalize the process of dealing with incidences like this. The fear that normally comes from not knowing how you will respond in situations like these. Instead of waiting until you're in the middle of a crisis, make those decisions now and make them with management. For example, if you were the person that posted the National Rifle Association tweet I mentioned earlier, what would you do? Maybe your immediate reaction would be to delete the tweet. But would that then come back and bite you because it looks like you're covering up your mistakes? Should you call a meeting to discuss how to respond? But then again, maybe the delay in responding would look like indifference. What about people that post updates to your Facebook page complaining about your organisation? So should you remove them, or is that just going to incite people? Should you reply, or is that feeding the topic? Should you ignore them, or does that look like you don't care? Don't wait until these things happen. There isn't the time to get sign-off on your response, and that leaves you vulnerable to criticism afterwards. Decisions made in a crisis are rarely the best ones anyway. Instead, plan ahead and put some policies in place now. Sometimes running social media can feel like a poison chalice, but it doesn't have to be. With a little planning and agreement from other stakeholders, it can actually be a lot of fun. To be frank, the trick is putting some processes in place that cover your arse to ensure that you have management's approval for what you're posting online.